We're turning now this evening to those two chapters that we read earlier, Isaiah chapters 38 and 39. In our series in this book of Isaiah, we've been looking at many accounts that have been historical, accounts of the visions that Isaiah has had, prophecies regarding the events that were surrounding the nations of Israel and of Judah and the nations around. And these two chapters mark the end of a major division in the book of Isaiah, the end of those historical chapters in Isaiah. And as we move on into the continuing chapters, we're really entering into what's really one long extended sermon of Isaiah's, and many evangelistic themes that we brought out in those chapters. But as we come to these two chapters here this evening, we come to this great account in the life of Hezekiah. Now, we were introduced to Hezekiah last week, and we've been reminded that he was good King Hezekiah. He's one of the few godly kings in Judah who is greatly commended compared with his father David, those generations before, and one who's greatly commended in his life, his godly work, how he got rid of all the heathen idols out of the land and cleansed the land and restored true worship and was determined to do these things for the Lord's glory. And yet, as we read the scriptures, the Bible always faithfully sets before us the failings of even the greatest of God's servants. And you can think of many examples in the scriptures of men of God, greatly commended as those who walked with God, who loved God and served him, and yet their failings and their faults are set before us. The Bible is so clear on these things. It doesn't hide the failings of the Lord's people. And Hezekiah's no exception. We've been seeing how Hezekiah, in those early accounts, have been faithful in bringing the burdens of the people and the nation facing the Assyrians who are attacking his land and gathered around Jerusalem, and he spread the letters before the Lord there in the temple, and he turned to the Lord in those things. We've seen Hezekiah as a great man of prayer. And as we come to these last two chapters here, you'll have seen that again we see Hezekiah as a man of prayer, faced now with the greatest of trials that we can face in this life. Facing the thought, the prospect of death, the prospect of eternity. We find Hezekiah, the beginning of this chapter, was sick unto death. A grievous sickness had taken hold of him. He was clearly dying. He was a man who was ill. And we find, don't we, that not only that, but Isaiah, prophet of Amos, that's the writer of this very book that we're looking at, is sent to him with a message from the Lord. And what better title could we have for our subject this evening than those words that the Lord gives to Isaiah to bring to Hezekiah? It says, "Thus saith the Lord," Isaiah 38 verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And death comes to every single one of us, sometimes more unexpectedly than at others, sometimes suddenly, sometimes as the prospect coming upon us, as Hezekiah was conscious of his sickness here, sometimes it's an inevitability that will soon be upon us, sometimes perhaps it's many years hence, and we don't know when the Lord's time, our time to stand before the Lord will come, but it's applicable to every single one of us here today. We shall all one day die. We don't know when that might be, sooner or later. And the same message comes to us. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And there's a message there for every one of us here, for those who have not yet turned to the Lord, who will not yet confess the name of the Lord Jesus. Surely of all people, there's the most solemn word. Set your house in order. Are you ready to face God? Are you ready to face your Creator, your Maker? But the message comes to believers, to those who know and love the Lord, just as it did to Hezekiah. The days are coming. Shortly, he was told, you will stand before God. Set your house in order. Are you ready to face God? And there's a There's a tremendous challenge to us here. As many of us here will say, we know and we love the Lord, and we're not afraid of the prospect of facing Him, but are we ready to face Him? What would our response be if the Lord should send such a personal message this night to us, you individually, and say, set your house in order. This night the Lord is going to require of you your soul. What would your response be? Of course, here was Hezekiah is not told when he's going to die. He's given this time. He's simply told, set your house in order. And he's conscious that he's a sick man. As we read something of the account later on in this chapter, there's a long description that he gives after he recovered, describing what it was like. And you can grasp something of the torment that he was in, something perhaps of an insight into his sickness and the suffering that he went through. And he's not conscious of how long that's going to go on for, but he's simply told that the end is going to come and he's going to die. And so our question this evening then is, what is our response to such a challenge to set our house in order? Well, firstly, I want to consider a godly response. Hezekiah's godly response, and how that should be a tremendous reminder to us of what our response should be like. And we see, don't we, that it says here that Hezekiah's immediate response is to turn to the Lord in prayer. He turns to the Lord in prayer. Verse 2, Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Verse 3, we read something of his prayer. Now we're going to comment on the content of his prayer as we go on through here, because we get insights into that from how he describes his thanksgiving afterwards when his prayer is answered and he recovers. But we're given a glimpse of it here in verse 3. And he says, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. Now, we must be careful here. We do Hezekiah great injustice if we think that here was Hezekiah turning his face to the wall in some sort of petulance and some sort of an anger or a hatred or an angry response to what he's been told. He's turning his face to the wall in devotion. You can see his prayer here. He's speaking here of his relationship with the Lord. And if we're those who know and love the Lord, it's that that's of our greatest concern. It's that which is a challenge to every one of us. What is your relationship with the Lord? But as believers, if we are to make our house ready, be prepared for that day, then what is our relationship with the Lord like now? Now, here's Hezekiah in verse 3. And when he's speaking here of how he says, I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and done that which is good, he's not heralding his merits. He's not saying that he deserves God's pleasure because of this walk. He's speaking about his relationship with the Lord. That which speaks of how he's one who has served the Lord because of what the Lord has done for him. Now, we get an insight into this later on in his prayer when he recovers and this song of thanksgiving. Because later on in verse 17, we see what it was that Hezekiah was really rejoicing in. It's not his own merits. He's not saying, I've lived a good life, and surely the Lord is going to answer my prayer and do me good. Notice what he says in verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. He's speaking of the suffering of his illness and all his condition that he was in there. He'd lost, hadn't he, all that comfort and in life that he had. But, he says, now this is his hope. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. You see, that is what Hezekiah's confidence rested in. It's what God had done. He'd forgiven him. He'd washed him. He'd cleansed him. Here is Hezekiah with this confidence that here was a God who cast all his sins behind his back. And that's the God that we have to proclaim. This is the God that we have to be prepared to meet. He is the one who forgives. He is the one who cleanses. And it's not our own merits to deserve an entrance into heaven. It's not through balancing good works and bad works. It's claiming the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. We proclaim that message. Have you turned to him? Now, to set your house in order, the godly response is to be able to testify, yes, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Saviour. And He died for me. And He's washed away my sins. And He's cast all my sins behind His back. I shall see them no more. And if we're those who can say in confidence and faith in the Lord that that's our relationship with Him, then we claim not our own righteousness, but His righteousness. What He has done for us. What the Lord Jesus has set to our account. And this is what Hezekiah is speaking of here in these verses here. So his first response to this shock of news that comes to him is to make sure that he is right with God. To confess that he loves the Lord, that he knows the Lord, that he served the Lord, because the Lord is the one who has forgiven him and washed him and cleansed him. Now we might think in that, just reading those words casually, Hezekiah's prayer there is, that all he was doing was praying, oh Lord, take away my sickness and let me live. But there's no hint that that's really the focus of his prayer. His prayer here is speaking of his trust in the Lord, his confidence in the Lord, his relationship with the Lord. You can see how it is when the response comes from the Lord. Notice how he says, behold, Isaiah is told to return into the palace and speak again to Hezekiah. And so notice what he says in verse 5 here. Here's the response of the Lord. I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, that's a word of astonishment. That's a word of surprise. That's a wonder at what the Lord is about to say. He says, behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Now, no doubt Isaiah was praying, wasn't he, in that prayer, that he might perhaps be one who would recover from his sickness and perhaps have his life extended for some time. But to have this, behold, thou shalt have 15 years added, that there's a great note of surprise, because that's not what Hezekiah had been praying for. I think we can even say that he hadn't necessarily prayed that he would be recovered from his sickness. If you turn to the second book of Kings, we find a parallel account here of Hezekiah's sickness. It's an almost identical account. There are some slight additional details in here. But in 2 Kings chapter 20, the same account here, when Isaiah is told to return to Hezekiah, in verse 5, it says, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, so he's saying here again, behold, I will heal thee. So behold there again. Here's this word of astonishment. Here's a surprise for Hezekiah. He says, here's God's answer. He says, I'm going to heal you. And then he repeats again what we just saw in Isaiah's book. And behold, it says there again that he would add here the 15 years unto his life, as we've seen before. So there's two beholds there that are given to Hezekiah. So here's Hezekiah's first response here then, is his relationship with the Lord, his confession that the Lord is his Saviour and that he's dealt with his sins and that he's ready to meet his Lord. But Hezekiah, in his prayer here, has another aspect to his response. Because his concern, having begun there with his own relationship with the Lord, extends to others. He has a burden for his family and for his children. Now, you might say, well, where on earth do you get that insight from in here? Well, if you notice towards the end of his prayer of thanksgiving that he gives in chapter 38, notice what he says in verse 19. He says, the living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day, he's recovered from his sickness, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Here was Hezekiah's desire to proclaim the truth, God's truth, something we're hearing about this morning, to proclaim the word of the Lord to the children. He has a desire, if his desire had been that his life should be extended to any extent, is that he would use his time well to proclaim this gospel message to the generation to come. And of course, The wonder of this is that the Lord had said to him, he's got 15 more years. You can almost imagine Hezekiah saying, 50, what can I do? 15 years to proclaim the truth to the children. He goes on further. Notice what he says there in verse 20. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life. Now, he's not using the royal we there. Speaking of himself, the father to the children from the verse before, his family. Here's his determination in his continuing time of his life that he's been given by the Lord to sing his songs. He's written a song here of praise to the Lord. There are other songs of praise to the Lord. And here's Hezekiah saying, that's what he's going to do. His response to this word that came from the Lord is now with this new opportunity that he has, more years of service, more years that the Lord has given to him. He says, we're going to sing my songs. I've got a testimony. My songs, he says, I'm going to record these things. I'm going to tell the next generation and we're going to sing these songs to the Lord. Remember how he'd been told earlier on, he said, there in the account in 2 Kings, he said, in 3 days' time, you'll be able to return to the house of God and to worship him. He'd been confined to his bed, sick almost unto death. And there he's told, in 3 days, he says, in 3 days thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And here's Hezekiah saying, and what's more, he says, I'm going to speak of what the Lord has done. And we, myself, my family, my children, those that I can proclaim this message to, we're going to sing these songs, he says, all the days of our life. So here is Hezekiah with this determination here, yes, to repair. When it says here now, prepare these things, it says set thine house in order, get your house ready. What's his concern? What is this house that he has set ready? Began with himself, his own relationship with the Lord, extended to his household and his children and his family. He says, we will do these things to worship the Lord. But it goes on further, because Hezekiah, of course, is the king. He is one who has been entrusted with the care of the people of God, with the nation of Judah, with the city of Jerusalem. And Hezekiah's prayer extends to that great responsibility, the burden that he has, that these things that he's spoken of here as the father to the children and the family should be a prayer for his people as well. See, Hezekiah's prayer here is not selfish. And we mustn't portray that in that way, thinking that all Hezekiah was doing here was pray, oh Lord, take away this sickness and make me better. You can see there's such a greater scope here in Hezekiah's prayer. Now, why is it that we can say that Hezekiah's prayer extended even beyond his family and his children that we've seen there? Well, there are a number of things that we can see, because when the answer comes to Hezekiah from Isaiah, notice what he says there in verse 5, he's been told, he's heard his prayer, seen his tears, he'll add unto his days 15 years to serve him, and, verse 6, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Now, Isaiah hasn't seemingly prayed about that. The account we saw last week, the Assyrians have gone, they've returned to their land, the angel of the Lord had almost destroyed the army of the Assyrians. For now, that threat seems to have receded, but it's still there. And that's clearly, this is Hezekiah's concern. He's burdened for the city of Jerusalem. He said, if I'm taken now, what's going to happen? The Assyrians are going to return. He's burdened for the people of God. He's burdened for the people that have been entrusted to him. We can see that even more so if we turn back to 2 Kings chapter 20. You can see quite clear here that this is the thought that was in Hezekiah's mind, 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 5. When Isaiah is told to return to Hezekiah, there's something extra put in these words in this account. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people. You see, here was something of the content of Hezekiah's prayer. He was praying not only in that personal sense for his walk before the Lord, he was concerned for the Lord's people, and for the name of the Lord. And so this is how it is that the Lord, in answering him, uses this lovely description of Hezekiah. Turn again, tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. And here are these things that he said unto him. But he goes on to say again, he repeats, that he's going to add unto his years, verse 6, add unto his days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. You can read into these responses that Hezekiah was burdened for the people of God, the city of God, for the name of the Lord. And here's the Lord answering his prayer in a very distinctive way. Tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, tell him that I'll defend this city. I'm going to give him 15 more years, but I'll defend the city. I'll protect them from the Assyrians for David, my father's sake, and for my sake. His name is to be honored. In all these things that we're seeing here in Hezekiah's prayer, we can summarize them saying that Hezekiah was concerned for the glory of the Lord, for the Lord's honor, for his name. And this is not a selfish prayer, but a prayer that he might be useful in the service of the Lord, that he might be able to use his time as the father in his family, as the king in the nation, to honor the Lord, to proclaim truth in the nation. He'd been doing a great work there. He'd put right all the awful sins of his own father in the land. And he wanted to continue to honor the Lord in that way. And this is something that is clearly here in this prayer of Hezekiah's. But as we see that, as the focus of his prayer, there's one other aspect that we need to grasp here. Because Hezekiah, knowing the promises of God, understanding that the Lord had promised that one day a Saviour would come, clearly has an eye to that promise of God as well. His desire, to whatever extent it was of his life being preserved, was to that eye of the promise of the Lord to send his Messiah. Now, how can we say that? Well, we've seen earlier Hezekiah's prayer extended to his children, to his family. He said there that his desire was that he would teach his children the truth. And when you realize that at this stage Hezekiah had no son, you realize the full import of what he's saying. He has no son and heir. The line of David would finish if Hezekiah's life ended now. Now there, suddenly we realize what the focus of Hezekiah's prayer was. Hezekiah, understanding the promises of God, desires that the Lord should use him still in the line of David to fulfill the promises to Abraham and then to David that this son would one day come. This one that he'd been speaking of there who will do that great work of casting his sins behind his back. His desire is there that the Lord's name would be glorified and honored because there's a promise that the Lord must fulfill, that one day the Savior must come, the Messiah must come. You can see those dates if you want to check up on them. When Hezekiah does eventually die 15 years later, his son Manasseh is made king at the age of 12. He's not yet been born. 3 more years have yet to pass before his son is born. Sadly, Manasseh was a godless king. Sadly, he was not one who followed in his father's footsteps. But here was the line, the promised line of succession, that one day the Lord would send his Savior in the line of David. Well, we see there, don't we, something then of Hezekiah's prayer. Here's this godly response, his concern for the Lord's glory, for the fulfillment of the Lord's promises, and that he might live out the years of his life serving the Lord, honoring the Lord, proclaiming his truth. But then we must go on in the account and see, secondly, and learn as well, that there's a spiritual neglect that is set before us here. We remarked at the beginning, the Bible is clear and open and honest about the failings of even the godliest of his servants. And Hezekiah, in spite of all that we've just seen about his determination to live for the Lord and to proclaim this the great truths of the Lord to the generations to come, to be one who would be a king who would guide the people of God in a godly way, he fails. He stumbles. He neglects those things that he promised to do. That song of thanksgiving that we see there in chapter 38, where he said there, didn't he, towards the end, in verse 20, he says, "We will sing my songs in the house of God all the days of our life." That would have been his determination, his genuine, honest determination, his promise to do that. And there's a salutary warning to us here, because in spite of our best endeavours, our greatest desires to serve the Lord and honour him, even the godliest can stumble and fall. And we must never think that we are beyond and above these things. Hezekiah, we read as the account goes on, sadly was lifted up in pride. We find, don't we, in the next chapter, in chapter 39, we find this account of those princes of Babylon who are sent to Hezekiah. And they come with presents, come with gifts, they come to inquire after him. He's recovered from his sickness, and they've heard about these things. And sadly, says there, Hezekiah, verse 2 of chapter 39, was glad of them. And he shows them all the treasures in his house and in his kingdom. And they were many. We read in other accounts, a parallel account in 2 Chronicles, that after the routing of the army of the Assyrians, that the Lord, when the Lord had intervened, he said the nations around, they gave great honour to Hezekiah. Many brought great riches and realised that here was a great king. And Hezekiah becomes a very wealthy king and a man of great influence. And when these Babylonian princes come to him, he fails to give the Lord the glory. Now in 2 Chronicles and chapter 32 is yet another very brief account of this that we've been looking at about Hezekiah's life. And in a way, this becomes, as it were, a sermon. It becomes that which illustrates the summary of what happened with Hezekiah here. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, instead of giving us all the very details here, we have to look at 2 Kings for that and Isaiah for that, but in 2 Chronicles 32, we read in verse 31 these words, "Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart." Here was God testing Hezekiah. Hezekiah made all those great confessions and professions. He's going to serve him, he's going to worship him and proclaim his truth. And God tests him. The Lord knows our hearts. He doesn't need to test for his own purposes, but he does it for our good. And there are times of testings. And we can make the greatest professions to serve the Lord and to honour him and to live him all the days of our lives. Sometimes we need to see what our hearts are like. And the Lord will test us. Different circumstances, different situations come upon us so that we can see how weak we really are without the Lord. Earlier on in 2 Chronicles in chapter 32, you find it summarised as to what it was that had done there. Verse 25, it says, "But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up." His heart was lifted up. Poor Hezekiah. He had been greatly blessed. He'd been privileged to have this great answer to prayer. We haven't really commented on the great miracle that was performed of the sun going back 10 degrees on the sundial. And there was that sign that God gave him that this great event, this promise was going to be true. But it says, he rendered not again. When these Babylonians came to visit him, he didn't give God the glory. And there in his pride, full of all his success and his wealth and his treasures and his influence, he shows them it all and neglects to render unto the Lord the honour due unto his name. And that, of course, is always our failing. we lose sight of the Lord. We forget to give Him the honour. Whether it's the Lord Jesus Christ in our salvation, that He has paid the whole price. We've not earned it. We've not deserved it. We've not contributed to it. He has done it all. And then in our walk, our daily walk with the Lord, as prayers have been answered, He's helped us on all the journeys of our lives, do we forget to acknowledge that it's not our own strength, it's not our own faithfulness, it's the Lord who's to have the honour and the glory. And Hezekiah, the scriptures give us that very clear summary of his life, says, notwithstanding. It says there, Hezekiah rendered not again for the benefits done unto him. But it's worse than that. Not only was it that Hezekiah had not honoured the Lord, not only that he had not rendered unto the Lord, acknowledged that it was God's goodness to him that gave him all that wealth and influence, but remember his confession earlier. He was going to proclaim these things to his children. He was going to proclaim them to the land. He was going to speak of all that God had done. And these Babylonian princes, they didn't come to see his wealth. They hadn't come to see his treasures. Did you notice what it said there in 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, and verse 31? Why did the princes of Babylon come? Did you notice it? In the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. To inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. What was the wonder that was done in the land? It's the miracle of the sundial. Ahaz's sundial. Of the sun returning 10 degrees of that extended day. The Babylonians worshipped a so-called sun god. Here was their so-called god, who somehow was not the God that they thought. There was another God in Israel. They'd heard about Hezekiah and his prayer and how his God had moved the sun in the sky. Here were the Babylonians saying, what is this wonder that's happened? That's what they'd inquired of. And Hezekiah falls. He doesn't proclaim the Lord. He doesn't render unto the Lord the honour due unto his name. He doesn't answer inquirers after the living God. What a sad thing it is when Hezekiah had been determined for all the remainder of his life to proclaim the glories of God, to speak of these things, and he fell down on his duty. But you see, there's a challenge there for us, isn't it? We've begun this by saying, haven't we, those words that the Lord is saying, set your house in order. You're going to die someday. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with the rest of your life, however short or long that is? Are you going to live for the Lord? Are you going to honour Him? As we're here this morning, we're to be sanctified, set apart for the service of the Lord. Now, are you going to use that to honour the Lord, to bring glory to His name? And are you going to proclaim this gospel message to those who come inquiring, to those who are seeking? And here, Hezekiah had heathen servants coming to his land, inquiring after his God. And he falls short. He fails, doesn't he, to speak of these things. Now the Babylonians, it's difficult to sometimes to disentangle all the histories here. Don't forget the Assyrians were the nation in ascendancy at this time. The Babylonians at this moment are also enemies of the Assyrians. Hezekiah saying, oh, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, but oh, the danger of that, the delusion there. He had a different work he should have been doing, proclaiming the wonders of his God to these nations, whether they're Assyrians or Babylonians, whoever they are. Had a duty to proclaim this message, just as we do. But to proclaim this message to all, whoever they are, that they need to know this God, our God, a God of miracles, a God of salvation. Well, there then is that challenge, that great way in which Hezekiah neglected these things, the spiritual neglect. And when Isaiah is sent back to Hezekiah, notice how he falls when he's challenged. You see, we find there, don't we, back in chapter 39 of Isaiah. Isaiah is sent to him to inquire about these visitors that he's had. It says that in verse 3 of chapter 39. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men? What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? Now notice Hezekiah's answer. Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. You notice what he's done? The finger's been put on his failure to meet these Babylonians and their inquiry after the wonder that had been done, what God had done. That's what these men had said. They come inquiring after the wonder in the land. And Hezekiah here doesn't answer that. Misses that bit out and says, Oh, they've come from Babylon, a far country from me. And Isaiah has to continue, doesn't he? And says, And what have they seen in your house? You see, here Hezekiah he's grievously fallen. He hasn't given honour to the Lord. He hasn't spoken to those who were seeking a reason, an explanation for this great wonder that has come. And even now, when Isaiah comes to him, he's neglecting to own up to what's happened here. What did these men say? Doesn't answer that. But maybe that was the prick of his conscience. Maybe that's what awakens him. Because we're able to see thirdly here, haven't we? That there was this great return. There's a humble return. So thirdly we have, if you like, a contrite heart. We're seeing here what we're like, even the godliest of servants of the Lord. It's a warning to us, a reminder to us of our need to walk closely with him. And when the Lord says, set your house in order, are you ready to meet the Lord? How are you going to use your time? Then yes, like godly Hezekiah, we should make those great professions and prayers, a desire to serve him. Learn the lesson, though, from his failure. Learn the lesson from how it was that he didn't render unto the Lord as he should have done. But then rejoice when you can see that Hezekiah, he returned to the Lord in humility, a contrite heart. The Lord will not despise. And of course we see that again, beautifully set before us here, because you find, don't we, that when Isaiah brings that word of judgment to him there in Isaiah 39, and Isaiah has to say to Hezekiah, all that treasure that you've taken such pride in, it's all going to be taken. In years to come, the Babylonians will be in the ascendancy. They'll come as a nation against you, and all this treasure will be taken away. Well, we see how that was fulfilled, don't we? We know the accounts later on. The Babylonians, literally, they did. They came, they destroyed everything and took it all away. But Hezekiah at the end, in verse 8, Hezekiah said to Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. Hezekiah, in his humility, acknowledged his fault. Doesn't complain, doesn't grumble, doesn't try to excuse himself. He says, Good is the word of the Lord. The Lord does that which is right and just. The Lord is the one who is sovereign. The Lord is the one who knew his heart. He put his finger on it. And Hezekiah acknowledged, God was right. He's right. I failed. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we're told here that indeed Hezekiah here had humbled himself. It's acknowledged here, recorded here for posterity here in the Word of God, not just his failing, but his restoration. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 26, Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. And there's that great lesson, that when we stumble and we fall, that we have in the Lord a gracious God. God who receives the returning sinner, the humble and the contrite heart, he will not despise. And though we fail, and though we stumble, and we will, and we have these examples here of the greatest of men who did, we can return to the Lord, seek his forgiveness, and he will receive us. Here, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. And when he says there, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken, that's said in true humility, true repentance, true contrition. And we have a God, we can rejoice this evening, who receives his people when they acknowledge their faults and return again to him. What a glorious Lord we have. You know, if we were to do this to one another in our earthly relationships, we know how short we are with one another, how unwilling to forgive, how unwilling to acknowledge that somebody's truly repentant, but the Lord isn't like that. His people, he will receive again. The prodigal returns to him and knows that he has a reception there that he doesn't deserve. But God is gracious to forgive and to receive. And this great account here of Hezekiah is set there for us as well. Well, these are tremendous encouragements to us then to seek to lay these things to heart and to learn these lessons. Go back to what it was said at the beginning. It says now, doesn't it? Set thine house in order. Set your house in order. Now, what's our response going to be to that? We've read these accounts. We've seen these examples set before us. We know what we should do. But are we determined to lay hold upon the Lord and in his strength to do that? We can make the profession. We can say we're going to do these things. But we need to acknowledge our weakness and turn to him for help. And now, just in closing, notice at what Hezekiah says right at the end of chapter 39. He said, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Now the Lord has promised him the peace. It's the God who is the one who's going to bring about peace, who said he's going to protect the city from the Assyrians and they won't invade the land and he's going to have peace in the land. It's God who's responsible for that. But when he says there shall be truth in my days, I think that's Hezekiah learning his lesson. He previously said he would proclaim to his children, to the generations to come, the truth. He would proclaim this God that he serves. He would ensure that those around who inquired of him would hear the truth and know it. And this is what he's saying here. There shall be. If you like, he's renewing, rededicating himself again, renewing his vows to the Lord. He'd fallen before, fallen short of his promise, but here again, humbled, is turning to the Lord, he says, there shall be peace and truth in my days. So this new opportunity that he has, that remainder of the time that he has, he's going to use now to serve his Lord and to honour him and to bring glory to his name. Well, may that be our determination in these things as well, to live for the Lord, but oh, to seek for his help and for his strength. And may the Lord so help us to set our house in order. And if you've not come to know the Lord in this way, you need to come to him first. To set your house in order, you need to come to the Lord Jesus. Plead his merits. Say, Lord, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, make me one of your people. Then you're still as a believer, need to set your house in order. What's your plan for the rest of your life? However long it's going to be, however short, what are you planning? Is it what you're going to do? Or is it how you're going to serve the Lord and honour him and proclaim the wonders of our God? Well, may the Lord so help us to do, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, let's turn again to our hymn books and sing together 692. Search me, O God. My actions try, and let my life appear as seen by thine all-searching eye, to mine my ways make clear. That's a great prayer the psalmist here, isn't it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. The Lord knows our hearts, and we need to confess we need him to search us, don't we? That we might walk aright before him. 692. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.